You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Okay, last chance for any announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. Today's in Genesis 4, verses 19 through 24. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other is Zilhah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zilhah, she also bare Tubalcan, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubalcan was Namath. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zilhah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
All right. Well, we've had the blue screen of death. All of us who've got Microsoft computers know what I'm talking about, probably. And it's the ultimate problem. You boot it up, and then you start praying. And then, bang, blue screen. Computer will restart. And it gets into the cycle, and it doesn't get out of it. There's some problem with the files. And then it finally gives you the option, reformat, reinstall. And then there's also one where you can go back to a previous working edition of what you had, and then it reinstalls that. Well, so what we got up here is last week's slides. Now, the sad thing about all this is I had made a lot of effort to bring forth some teaching, and I recorded it on slides, and they're all in the blue screen of death. But nonetheless, I learned quite a bit from it, so I'll bring that to you. Last night, Seppi and I made the effort to get out to Lake Thunderbird just before the sun went down. Paradise, man. I'm telling you right now, on Lake Thunderbird, all becalmed. Fishermen out there, some throwing nets out, some people catching fish. All around us is fish. I was amazed how much fish were out there. And just beautiful, the atmosphere and everything. It was a very romantic time. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time. We ask, Lord, you bless us, guide us as we open the scriptures, help our minds to understand, Lord, and recall those things that will be useful to share with others and help us in our personal lives, that we'd live lives that would be pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, we've been looking at various things to do with Genesis. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 4. And we had read this. Chris did a pretty good job of pronouncing all those names. And, you know, I stumble on these names big time because these are very much Hebrew names. And these names, they have a lot of meaning in them. But more importantly for us is how things progressed. So one thing I want you to see about the structure of this, which is very important. If you look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Okay, bang. We know that Cain's not the good guy here. And Abel ends up being murdered. So right off the cuff, what you've got is a progression and genealogy which relates to this person Cain. And as you go through it, what you'll find is a repetition of Cain's problems. The things that the father of this lineage, the things that he did are repeated. And so that when you come down to verse 19, it says, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And it goes through and gives you some descriptives of the offspring and how these different families took up various jobs and various activities. Like, for example, you find here Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. So these are like these nomads who are moving around and just moving their cattle around. And then verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Musicians, you see. So here you have very different functions and emphases within the family and their progeny. And you go on down, and it says here in verse 22, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Now, isn't it amazing how quick this comes about? Hey, wait a minute. You just get Adam and Eve being formed, and not long after that, what do you find? Artificers in brass and iron. They can work metals already. You know, there's none of this knuckle-dragging business. You know what I'm saying? You don't see any evidence of any knuckle-draggers, but rather what you see here are people involved with music. What do you mean? Yeah, they are studying music and producing music. There are people here who are working iron, brass. And it says in verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. This guy murdered someone, a young man. Well, wait a minute. This is the progeny of Cain. And, you know, there's a lot of teaching that comes out of this. People say to me, you know, why is it that the progeny of Satan, you know, I'm using this very loosely, all right, very loosely, are in many cases so smart, and they can produce all sorts of interesting things, and they can invent things, and they can make things. Well, of course they can. You got the evidence right here, right from the beginning. You got people that are in Cain's line, and they are artificers, and they are making things, and they can produce music. Of course, because they were made originally in the image of God. When we see all of humankind and you see people who are really people who are opposing God and hating Jesus, some of those people are also people who are making productive things to help others. You say, how does that work? Well, because they are, after all, even in their rejection, they still bear something of the image of God, and they are able to create. They've been given these things as gifts from God. Whether they accept God or not, they are given it. And then down in verse 24 it says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, and remember, Cain complained about this, people who find me shall slay me, and then God says, I'll set a mark on you, and people will see you and recognize you as someone that I have separated off here. And it says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And so he's hoping on this protection. In verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then it occurred. So you can see that there definitely is this great rupture that occurred with Cain. And then, at some time later, comes another line. Now, it's not done in succession, like, for example, it's not saying that all these events occurred, right? So when you read from verse 1 of chapter 4 and you read this thing as it goes through, what's happening here is Moses, the writer of Genesis, is now taking you and giving you a succession that comes down from Cain. And he's wanting to line these things up for teaching purposes. And then when you get to verse 25, then he says, okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back again. I'm going to show you another line. It's not like verse 25 now is historically taking over from verse 24. You see? It's not doing that. He's now taking a breath and he's saying, okay, that's what happened with Cain's line. Now let's go back and let's see the other child. You see, the replacement and for Abel. And you can then see the truth that comes out, that then man began to call upon the name of the Lord. I think this is a very important point to see. Because people say, well, how is it there must have been other human beings around other than Adam? How can this be that, you know, they went out and found them wives and things like this? How can it be? You know, the only people that they could take for wives would be the progeny from Adam and Eve. And when you come to verse 25 of Genesis 4, he's not continuing that previous genealogy and that previous timeline. Rather, he's going back again and now taking you forward. Okay, so that's one thing. Okay, now there's some other things in here which I think is kind of, you know, important. Last time we had an interesting little video, and some of you may have gone back to the net and had to look at the whole thing. It is quite humorous in places, you know. If you watch that video and you go right to the end and you watch the video camera go cross to what happened afterwards, there was almost a fisticuffs going on there at the end. And, you know, they're getting face to face and, you know, about an inch between each other and all this kind of stuff. But it's quite an interesting debate. But what was interesting, of course, was the fact that a person that knew right division can see right through these arguments and can give a cogent and good argument for why things are the way they are and the fact that we do not have these gifts. We do not claim to have these gifts. And we know why they were given. We understand what God was trying to achieve through the people who were in obedience, that is, his apostles, going out to those who were disobedient and trying to use signs to provoke them to emulation. We understand what was going on there. So that's an important lesson, I think, but it shows you why I'm so excited about our fellowship here. It's why I've been excited ever since I've learnt right division, because I see the world of Christianity, and I see, man, there needs to be a clear teaching of the Word of God rightly divided. And it's just a pity that people don't see it or want to see it, or maybe they've made up their mind that really what they want out of their life is just to have a good time. Right? We're going to have a good time. We'll go to church and we'll have a good time. And I've got nothing against enjoying church. Man, I enjoy church. I've got nothing against it. Now, some of you may not like to hear this, but I like rock and roll. I would not mind. I would not mind to have some good music, what I call good music. You may not call it that. Good music within the fellowship, right? Now, you'd say, no, I don't want that. Fine. I can adapt. I believe in what we're achieving here. And that is predominantly the Word of God rightly divided, right? And that would always be a part of any ministry that I would like to be a part of. And I love that because I see it as answering some of the biggest objections to Christianity, the biggest ones, right division. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. And it says here in verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And here you have this interesting demarcation between this man Cain and his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper, that is, he was a grazer of the sheep. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. And what he was to do was he was to obad the ground. That is, he was to work the ground and make the ground productive. Now, what is interesting is, as you come down to verse 9, you get the incident that Cain kills Abel. And what he says here is very instructive. He says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And what he replies, what Cain replies is very instructive because he says, am I my brother's keeper? Keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? And this word keeper has to do with this Hebrew word shamar. Shamar. And this word shamar, what it relates to is taking care of the ordinance, being observant to the ordinances. For example, you could be a one who was a keeper of the covenant. Right? You kept the covenant. You observed it, and you kept the precepts of it. Well, he says here, am I my brother's keeper? Now, right from the very outset, you've got this interesting command by God, an instruction, that from the very word go, man was to be in fact a person that would look after the dictates of the ground. That is, the ground had requirements to make it productive, and man was to observe those things and was to keep it, was to keep this, and he was to be a tiller also. And interestingly, that what Cain says here, am I my brother's keeper? Am I the one who is to be the shamar, the one who is to look after the needs of my brother? Am I the one that's supposed to do that? Well, yes, Cain, you were supposed to be that, right from the get-go. But what you find in Cain is this person who wanted to divide things up to suit his need. Now, this is very instructive, because we believe in division, right division. We believe in right division. Cain was also a divider, but he was a wrong divider. He was someone who said, okay, yeah, I am to till the ground, man. That's it. I'm a tiller. I'm not someone who is going to keep the ordinances. I'm just a tiller. And what you find is, as a tiller, he says, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer, of course, to that question is yes. And you blew it. And you went completely against this. So what you find in this Cain, this possessor, is someone who was a smith. In fact, the etymology of the word takes you to the smiths. He was a smith, you know, blacksmiths, etc. All these smiths. He was some kind of a worker. And his whole family, as you could see as we read through those verses, you can see all the kind of smiths that he produced from in his family. And what Cain did was, he was an extremist. He says, that's all I am. This is what I am. There's no part of my life that I'm going to worry about caring about my brother. And when I bring an offering to God, it's not going to be on the basis of a gift through grace. No, no. It's going to be me, as I am my own Savior. You see that? It's all through here. It is a remarkable thing that I've discovered in these words. Now, here's the other thing about this, which I find interesting. You'll find the most balanced giving of the truth concerning this by Paul. Look at this. Go across, to Philippians chapter number 2. So Philippians is Paul's version of Hebrews to the non-Hebrews, right? Philippians is like that. It's all about running the race. And if you look at Philippians chapter 2, it says this in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Cain is not like this. No, no. He is a wrong divider. He is a wrong divider. And he goes on and he says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness. Opposite to Cain. Cain was someone who was going to bring forth all that he could do. Lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh man, isn't this beautiful? See what biblical Christianity will do to a nation? A nation that agrees with this. Oh, man, what a nation that is. You look back into the history of the United States and you see the effect of Christianity on it, and you'll notice something else. The nature of those who were the founding generations and those that came in the original boats and came across and made their journey in all sorts of difficult circumstances and against terrible winters and so on, and finally survived. Notice that these who survived had to respect the ground. Did you notice that? Look how important the ground was to these people. It was their very survival. They were keepers and tillers, right? I know what it's like for many people who look upon farmers. Well, in some countries especially. In some countries, they look down their nose at farmers, which I think is an absolute wrong that any country or group of people should do that to people who are working the ground, because from the ground we get our sustenance. Have you ever thought, I've said this before, have you ever thought the damage that will come to a country if all the shelves went bare? Can you imagine the cities? Man alive! And people who are in charge of making the ground productive, I mean, this is an awesome responsibility, really. And that was there in the early generation. They knew that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Beautiful, man. This was the opposite doctrine of Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? You know? Why are you asking me this? And notice the way he refers to God with a kind of disrespect. There's a disrespect. How do you speak to God like that? Can you imagine that? Familiarity. You see, God in some way, the only way you can make sense of that, the only way you can make sense of that kind of language where it says that so-and-so would move away from the presence of God, would mean that God had in some sense came down in a way in which his presence could be visualized and noted. And this familiarity seems to be there with Cain. And it says this in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here comes the example of putting others before self. This is the example. And when you come to Paul's doctrine, he's Christ-centric. Right? It's always about Christ. Always. And it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So this is his equality. It would not be robbery for him to claim equality with God. No. It certainly would be for us, right? Massive robbery. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now I want you to notice the wording here. The form, the likeness. He did this as some sort of humiliation. He did this in a humiliation of who he was. And he went down to the earth and did this. And being found, again, see the wording. The wording is very, very clear about what God and the person of Christ did. In fashion as a man. Now look at it, come. He humbled himself. Humiliation, right? From... he could claim all rights. Exact equality with God. He could claim it. He didn't. No, no. He didn't do it. He put others before self. He and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Now, why does it say even the death of the cross? I mean, death is death, okay? But there was a particular humiliation for the cross. The cross was an absolute humiliation for anybody. He was a public spectacle, raised up on this great big spike with the crossbeam, nails driven through his hands, nail in each one, and there he would be put on display to finally to succumb to that brutality. And then it says in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now comes the next breath, right? There is that awful thing. But there's another breath coming. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. That's every. This is in verse 10. Of things in heaven. Whoa, stop there. Of things in heaven. Now, isn't it interesting, right? It's really interesting for us to contemplate this. That up here somewhere in the heavenly places, there are principalities and powers. We know that the devil is busy trying to bring and influence beings within the heavenly realm. And we know from the book of Revelation there's going to be a third of them are going to come with him and finally going to be ejected out of heaven. And we also know that we, on this little speck of dust in the Milky Way galaxy, we live our lives and here we find ourselves. Do you think about this? That we only live this very short life and here we are. People from all sorts of walks of lives, different people, but we are here. We are here together for this wonderful purpose of God. Now, this purpose of God, God is going to achieve. We are either going to be obedient to it or he'll use someone else. But what he's going to be doing is he's going to be using the church, which is his body, to have a ministry on the earth, reaching out to others. Yes, that's true. But also, there's a ministry that goes into this heavenly realm. Manifold wisdom of God, the Bible talks about. And he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. Things in heaven will certainly bow. And it says this, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Now you've got to accept that Paul is making a difference between the things in earth and things under the earth. You've got to acknowledge that, right? Now if you go across to the book of Revelation, you read about that there are things that come out of the Euphrates River. Right? There are things that come out of there. All these creatures, and I use the word creature advisedly, right? These are creations. They all will bow finally to the name of Jesus. And our message to everybody is, better bow now, right? Better bow now because you're going to bow later. Right? You're going to bow later. There is a resurrection coming. And it says this in verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, Lord means master. To the glory of God the Father. This was the great plan of God the Father. Inside the Trinity, they had a council and they made this plan that Jesus would do this. And then finally what's going to happen is that God the Father will be glorified and he's going to be happy with what happens. And everyone is going to make this confession. As I say, better make it now, friends. One thing you noticed about that atheist in that debate was the anger. The anger's there. What are you angry about? Well, the reason why you're angry is because you know that if you're actually right, there is no hope in this life. There is no sense in this life. This is meaningless life. There is no hope if the doctrine that you're trying to teach is right. And that's producing anger in you. And you might point your finger at some pastors or whatever. That's just an excuse. You're angry because you have no hope. Stop being in rebellion and come to him who is ready to save you. He's not going to force you. He says this in verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Look at this. "Work," Cain, now think about Cain, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work it out. That is, you have salvation as a gift. Now let that appear in your life. Work it out in your life. Let it appear. What Cain did was, he says, "No, I don't want the gift of grace. I'm going to work for my salvation. I am not going to make the salvation which is by grace given to me appear in my life. Rather, I'm going to put the cart before the horse, and in my pride, I'm going to earn my salvation." Right? Many facets of this going on with Cain. And I find this very, very fascinating that Paul is the one whom God uses to bring this out in the most plain and obvious way. The other thing is, if you look at the people of the Bible, what do you find? Do you find that the people of the Bible, the believers, are the thick ones and the intelligent ones are the ones that reject God? No. What you find is a whole raft of people. A whole raft, a whole gamut. If you look at the disciples, yeah, you find common people. But look at Paul, a well-trained, intelligent man who becomes a believer. So it is in the Bible. You find this with Solomon. Some wisdom that he had and experience, some not so wise things he did. Same with David, right? And you'll find that some of the prophets, extremely smart people. Just read the things that they wrote. The wisdom literature that's in the Bible. You could just read the Bible and just for literature's sake, some of the most marvelous passages you can ever read. Psalm 23, 1 Corinthians 13. Beautiful passages of literature you could take. But no, they're not simply literature. They are the Word of God. So I was excited by that. And this has got part 28, just a picture for now. Hopefully I'll be able to show you part 29 when I kill my blue screen of death and we'll get it working. But it's a great thing. Lots of stuff to do with Cain in there, Cain and Abel. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, Lord, for all that Thou hast shown us. And Lord, we ask that You'd bless this fellowship and those, Lord, who perhaps are not well or have troubles that we don't even know about. Lord, we ask Your Spirit work in their heart and life and bring them comfort. And Lord, we pray for the country, Lord, that You would restore it to its roots. And we pray for those who are making decisions and righteous decisions, Lord, that they'd stay strong in their resolution to take things to their end and do that which is right in Thy sight. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.